SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to an SBS News podcast.
My name is Yusuf Hisham Zahab. I used to live in Australia, Sydney, Bankstown. I used to go to the school called Anuri. And my mom's name is Amina. My dad's name is Hisham. My sister's name is Sumaya. I've got a brother, two brothers, one called Muhammad, one called Khalid.
We've been talking with your family in Australia, your aunties and uncles, and everyone's very concerned about you. So we've come here to Syria to try and find you, because nobody has heard anything about you. How are you? Nobody's heard anything about you.
I don't know, I'm tired, of course. Because of prison and that, tired. Because it's been 5 years now, I haven't seen my family, my mother. I went through a lot of stuff, mostly bad.
How's your health? We heard you had tuberculosis.
Yeah, I had tuberculosis for a while. I don't know if I still have it now. I wish I don't. Dr. Zabor has helped me before, but just for a few months. I don't know, and I don't think so if I finished all the medicine, but yeah, I don't know, get pain in the chest sometimes, get headaches sometimes from my injury on the head.
And tell me about when you last spoke to your mother.
Last time I was on the mountain, when after Bahoud, when I spoke to her face to face, that was the last time. I saw her on the mountain and I gave her goodbyes. I thought I was going to go to the school and see her again. But it's been 5 years, I never saw her again. Just once, a Red Cross letter came once to me. But it was old too, it wasn't new. In 2021.
So before the attack?
Yeah, before the problem happened. I got to see a letter from her and my sister. They said they were all right. I sent a letter back, but I never got a letter again. That was all. I got to hear from my mother. Can I ask, what's the news outside? Is Australia going to take me back, or am I going to be able to see my mother at least, or my family, because I've missed them so much? I think about them day and night. When am I going to go back home and probably see him? I don't know. You have any news about that?
It's a good question. I don't have any news to bring. Some women have left Rhoj and gone back to Australia. Your sister-in-law, Mariam, has gone back, but some women are still here. Your mother and sister are still in Rhoj camp.
Yeah, and are they going to take me back to Australia, or when, or what's going to happen to me?
It's a good question. I can't answer it for you, I'm sorry. But I do want to ask you, what do you want?
I wish to go back to Australia. I wish to go back to my normal life that I used to live 10 years ago. I wish to see my family again. I just wish to live a normal life, happy life. I wish to go back home. I asked for help several times, now twice. I asked again, help, yani. I want to go back home to Australia. I want to see my family. I miss them all. I don't know. I cry a lot about it. I feel now a bit, I don't know, sad. It's hard, I don't know. It's been a long time. I'm tired after what happened, and now in prison what happened to me. I'm very, very tired. I just ask Australia to take me back, please. I want to go back home and see my family. I don't know, I got tired of all this. What's happening to me? Day and night I'm scared, I'm feeling unsafe.
Why do you feel unsafe?
Because of what happened to me before in prison. because I got tortured before. Yeah.
Who tortured you?
I was in Shaddadi, a prison called Shaddadi, and I got tortured there a lot. And I hate remembering it, but it's hard to forget too. It's scary because I always get scared if they take me back there or something. Yeah, and a lot of stuff happened to me in prison. Bad, mostly. The good stuff only that I got to see organizations, got the letter from my mother, that's all.
What about your father? What news have you heard of him?
I actually don't know nothing about him. I don't know, he's an old man. I don't know what happened to him. I'm scared if he died or something. I don't know, but I'm really concerned more about my mother now because, I don't know, I just love my mother so much. My sister too. My mother has diabetes. I'm scared if she's okay or I don't know what's happening to her. She's good or she's sick or...
We haven't met her yet. We're going to meet her.
If you can please tell her that I love her so much.
Yeah.
And I wish to see her so much. Please.
You were reported as dead after the prison attack in Alhaska in 2022. We knew from your voice messages that you were able to send out that you were injured.
Yes.
But then because there was no news from you afterwards, it was concluded that you had died. But then a little bit later, a family member in Australia, your auntie Hala, was shown a proof of life video where you said your name and you said that the date was September 2022, so 8 or so months after the attack. So, yeah. Do you remember doing that proof of life video?
No. 2022?
So about 8 months after the attack. Do you remember doing a video where you were asked?
There was a Haval came to me and he took a video of me. A Haval.
A person?
A guard. One of the guys, yani. He came to me. I think he's an interrogator, I don't know. He told me to take a video and told me that my name is Yusuf. I'm in the hands of SDF and the date, I think, and I forgot what else he told me to take to say. And that's all. That's what I remember.
What contact, can I ask, have you had with Australian authorities?
Now?
In the whole time you've been here?
Once in 2019 only. They came and asked me a few questions about what's going on with me, and that's the last time I saw them.
Do you know what government department they were from?
Yeah, she told me, I think she's from ASIO maybe.
Okay.
I think she told me that.
And what did you say?
And I asked her, I told her that I wanted to go back to Australia and that she didn't know nothing too about what's going to happen to me. And then she's asked me a few questions about what's going on with me in ISIS and that, and what happened to my family and that. I told her the whole story and what I remembered from it. And yeah, that's all. That was the last time I saw the Australians.
Can you tell me your story?
I was 12 years old. I was in year 7. What I remember is that we sold our house and we were going to buy another house. And by the time we buy the other house, what my mother and father told me that we're going on a holiday and they were going to come back buy the house. So we went on that holiday and never came back. Didn't know where we were going. We went first on our way, we stopped in Dubai for like, I think, 1 day. Then we continued to Lebanon, then from Lebanon to Turkey. Then I remember in Turkey, we sat in a hotel, we saw some places. I remember one of them was the Blue Mosque, that big Blue Mosque in Istanbul. And then from there, I didn't understand what was going on until the day my mother, father, my brother, Khaled was telling me to run, and I was crying and I was scared and holding my mom's hand and running. I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand until later on they told me what's going on. I didn't even know what ISIS is. I didn't even know Syria and Iraq exist in my life. Never heard about them in Australia. And then it turns out I was in ISIS.
Can Can I just ask, whose idea was that to cross the border into ISIS territory?
I think, I don't know, I'm not sure, but what I saw, Yani, what's going on, and who's telling my dad and mum to do stuff was my brother, Khalid. But I'm actually not sure, you should ask my mother and father about that.
Did they know what was going on?
I don't know. But no one told me about what was going on. Everything was normal, holiday and normal. Because it's not the first time I went to Turkey. It was like, I think the second, third, I forgot how much times I went to Turkey for holidays. And I thought it was just normal. And it turned out all wrong.
You were a kid.
Yeah. I told you I didn't know nothing until they decided to say run, and I was crying, I remember, I think. And I was holding my mum's hand, and my brother was telling us to run, and that's what I remember.
What was life like under the Islamic State?
Mostly at home. My mother bought me a PlayStation Vita so I can play on it. I had a laptop, used to watch movies on it. Never used to go out much because there used to be hittings from planes and that. Mother was always afraid for me to go out and that, and I was always afraid to go out because of the noise of the planes, it's scary. And yeah, it's just, we literally spent the time going from place to place, scary getting hit. And literally until we got to Bahus, every day, every hour, every second in my life, scared, always sleeping in my mom's bedroom, with my father, mom's bedroom, always scared. Yeah. Until we got to Bahus, and the day we came out, I just felt like a horror movie in my life.
I have to ask, when you lived in the Caliphate, did you join the Islamic State?
No, I never joined the Islamic State. And I've got asked that so many times, when I first came to prison, when Asia saw me, until now. And I don't know why they always ask the same question, but I haven't joined the Islamic State. I haven't done nothing. For me to even be in prison, for me even, I don't know, like a few days ago I got interrogated and he told me that they're gonna put me in international court. I asked him why. I have nothing to do with ISIS. I have nothing, I have never went to ISIS. I didn't even come, it wasn't me, I came with my family. He tells me he doesn't know what to do with me. He just knows that the news that he's gonna tell me that I'm gonna be judged, or I don't know what to call it, by international court, and I don't even know what's that exactly, because I've never seen it before. That's all. I still ask, why? Do you know anything? Why are they're gonna judge me by international court? Why am I in prison? I don't even understand that.
I was told you have a nom de guerre, a war name. Abu Osman.
Yeah, that was my brother, he called me that. It's not a war name. He told me, just so people can know your real name. He told me, you're not allowed to tell no one your real name, you have to name yourself that. That was all. And he told me to pick a name. I thought, because back in Australia, I used to play in my school. We used to play, it's like Olympic Day, Athletics Day, sorry. And we used to have teams. And my team was called Othman. So I picked that name. And he told me you have to use, he told me that's your name from now on. I didn't understand why, but that was my name from now on. If I don't listen, I'll probably get beaten up by him. So I have to listen to him.
Your school sports team was your name?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about surviving the fall of the Islamic State in Bahus and walk me through getting separated from your family?
Bahus, oh, it was very scary. We're literally sleeping day and night, planes hitting. Close, far, very scary, and starvation. I was very hungry. We were getting once a day a meal. That's all we had. Not even a big meal, probably have a little bread and a little bit of food. We stayed a little bit like that until the day we came out. The day when we left.
And you were with your mother at this time?
I was with my mother and my sister. And my father was on coming. We got to the places, I don't know what to call it, like, I don't know, where you stop and you have to continue.
Like a checkpoint?
Checkpoint, like that. We stopped there, I remember, and then we were thirsty, I remember. And my father told, my mother told my father that we're thirsty, if you can get us some water. And he was like, I'm going to go get some water and come back. When he went, the checkpoint opened and we had to go straight away. And that was the last day I saw my father and heard about him.
Because he didn't make it through the checkpoint.
He didn't make it through the checkpoint, and I heard something, he said something about to my mother about the stuff and that. I didn't really understand. Probably selling the stuff, I thought, or something. I don't know what he wanted to do, because we had a car, we had stuff. I didn't really know, I didn't ask. I was just scared, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was going again.
So you're in the family car?
No, not with the family car. We went walking. It was close to checkpoint. It wasn't that far. And I remember we went out, we got checked, and went up the mountain. You have to go up the mountain, it's a bit rocky. And then I remember exactly, got up the mountain, yeah. And then we got to a place up the mountain where they started to separate the men and the woman.
Who's doing the separation?
The Kurds.
Kurdish forces.
Yeah, the Kurdish forces. And then stopped there, and I was going with my mother. I was continuing with my mother because I thought I was going with my mother. And then I was walking, I got literally like nearly halfway with my mother, and then a guy stopped me. He was like to me, stop, where are you going? I was like to him, I'm going with my mum. And then he told me, no, you're not allowed to go with your mum. You're not allowed to go with your mum. You have to go with the men.
How old are you at the time?
I was 15 years old, the end of 15. And then I was shocked. I was like, why? And he was like to me, no, you have to go. And then we started to speak, my mum, me, I started to tear up a bit. I want to go with my mum. I was scared. I was like, how am I going to go with the men? All these guys are big guys and that. I never left my mum. Probably like the first time I'm going to leave her. And then he promised that they're going to take us to prison. And from prison straight away to a school. And from school, I'm going to be able to see my mum. He promised like max 2 months, I think he said, or something like that. And then my mum said, okay, and that. And then she told me to calm down and that. She hugged me, hugged my sister, and she promised me that she's going to see me again. And then she told me to take care of myself. And she asked the guards and that to take care of me. And then so they took me, and then from then they took me to prison. The first prison I was in, the torture thing was there, that the only water you get is salty water. There's no normal water.
To drink. You only had salty water to drink.
Only salty water to drink. Even from the taps that they fill up in the containers on the top, I think, or I don't know, because I hear the car come sometimes, and there's a window you can see. The only thing that I used to drink there was salty water, washed with salty water, everything salty water. And the room I was with, all big guys, and like 42, 45 big guys. And the room just a bit, slight bigger than this. And it was very squishy.
You're in a room like this with 40 guys, that's where you lived.
Yeah, there's still more, I'll tell you. And then what happened? And then they took us after a few days. And then I remember what we tried to do there, tried to put a sponge in that to filter up the salty water, but it doesn't really work out because we were very thirsty, it just gets us more thirstier. And they took us to another place. Literally the whole floor was literally like flooded in, I don't know how to say it, toilet water, poo, I don't know, all disgusting stuff and disgusting smell. We stayed there for one night because we literally had nowhere to sit. And one night, and the next day they came, took us in a bus. They took us to another prison, and that prison was like literally, I don't know, so damp, you call it damp, yeah? That the roof is peening and there's water dripping from the roof. And I remember there was no AC working. And I remember I got sick straight away. I got kidney stone. I don't know, I think because of the salty water, I don't know from what. And I started to get pain. And I tried to tell them, they never took me out to a doctor. Like after a week, or I forgot, like 5 days a week from pain. Then they took me out, not even to the doctor, just to give me a medicine. A needle, I remember. They gave me a needle and just put me back inside. It stayed like that for 4 months. Food was good, but everything else wasn't good. I couldn't breathe properly. We were in like, it was the space was a bit better. And then from there, they got me to a prison where I saw for a few days.
This is the ASIO officer.
ASIO, yeah.
Is it just one person?
Two. And then Then they took me back to that prison that I was in. And then from there, after like a few months, they took me to Shiddadi. But the prison that I was in, after 4 months, sorry, I was there and the dam and it's hard to breathe and that. After 4 months, they fixed that up. They put AC on and they fixed up everything. And they started to take us out to see the sun. What is it called? To go see the sun and that. They call it Tashmis in Arabic.
You're allowed out of the building into the outside for a bit.
Yeah, for a bit, see the sun, yeah. Like 15 minutes max maybe.
Tell me, when you said you saw the two people from, you think it was ASIO, that was 2019. So pretty early on in the...
Yeah, after like 6 months maybe of Barouz, when I came out, I saw them.
Right.
And they told me, they asked me questions and I asked them about what's going to go on with me. They didn't really know too, and that's all. It wasn't long, it was short with them. And then they took me from, when I went back from the place where I saw the ASIO, I went back to that prison, and then from there they took me to Shiddadi. Shiddadi.
That's a prison.
That's a prison. Shiddadi, I went there, got beaten up so much, I got knocked out twice.
By who?
By guards. They were beating us up so much, people, blood coming out of them. I got knocked out twice from the beating. I got blood come out of my nose and that. My mouth, my lips got ripped from how much they used to beat me up on the head, on my body. I remember starvation, very hungry. I stayed there for a few months too. Then after that, they took me to that place called Hasaka. There, they put me with the kids. Over there was literally...
So before this, you were with men?
Yes.
For 6 months?
In Shiddadi? No, it's been like now for like a year and a half more maybe. I forgot
okay.
how much.
You were
with men.
Men. People you knew?
No.
Just random men?
No, random men. I didn't even know. I didn't really want to know. There's some kids my age, but they're with men in the rooms too.
Mm.
Then they moved me to Hasaka. Then Hasaka, they put me with kids. But the problem is there, you can't live how you want. Everything's rules from the outside and inside. And problems were happening there. Once even the children came and saw me. And over there I got sick TB, because it was like, I don't know how much guys in like a big place, but there are a lot of guys. And from there, stuff kept going on. And just the wrecked place, I wished to go somewhere else, a better place, but I never got to.
Dateline contacted the Minister's offices at Home Affairs, Foreign Affairs and the Prime Minister and Cabinet with questions about Yusuf Zahab. They did not respond to our questions. SDF officials deny Yusuf was tortured. They say they're doing their best to provide medical help to prisoners, including dangerous IS suspects.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.